Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Shalom, family. I'm your brother Harvey out here once again at Elite Culture, coming by the way of Kol Elohim from Beth Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland, in U.S. of A. Thank you once again for tuning in, and for those who will listen later, thank you. May Abiyah continue to give you the understanding of his word, and may we all continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness. After righteousness and after the understanding that each and every day the Abiyah mercy and grace is renewed for us, each and every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not yet in the door of the Shabbat. We got a few more minutes before the door of the Shabbat be open, but we're waiting patiently. We're waiting patiently and eagerly to hear Yahweh's word, and can't wait to enter into his rest, into the one day. Every 7 days is blessed, sanctified, set apart, and holy. All three mean the same, right? All three. But just the one day that he said he blessed and he set apart. And he commands us to take part of this so we can get a blessing, right? We can get a blessing just by taking hold of his Shabbat. Just by taking hold of his Shabbat. And not only we get a blessing, we get the become a part of his sign, because he also said he gave us his Shabbat to be a sign to us. So those who take hold of it, we will stick out in the world, right? We will stick out in the world, and people will take notice that those people over there for 24 hours from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, they don't do the things of the world. So we become a sign. That's why Hallel, Satan, fight so hard against this day right here. So it even gets you worshiping on any other day or mixing the Shabbat up, you won't get your blessing. You won't become a sign to the world. You won't become a testimony to those who don't take part of it. But as you take part of it, as we take part of it, we are testimonies to the world. And not just the Shabbat, all his commandments we take hold of. We become testimonies, witnesses for Yahweh's word, right? We are the true Yahweh's witnesses, right? You know, there's somebody out there who then stole that name, Yahweh's witnesses, but they want to say Jehovah's witnesses, right? How you Jehovah's? How you Yahweh's witnesses? And you're not doing nothing he said, right? You what my brother Shabba would say, smorgasbord in the word. Can't be his witness. He said, Yisra'el, you are my witnesses. That's why another thing that Halil fights so hard against Yisra'el. Satan fights so hard against us. We can't have witnesses in this world. We can't go to court and stand up in judgment day and say, I testify against you. My life testify against you. In fact, we won't have to say nothing. I was just going to use us as an example. Take that he or she or whoever it was, and go back through their lives, and they will see you going out on Shabbat. They will see you going out on the feast day. They will see you not you're eating kosher or clean. You're not eating pork while you're at work. You're not doing the things of the world while you're at work. But that doesn't take away from what we're going to go through tonight. That doesn't take away through the everyday life that believers have to live. So we're going to go through some things tonight. And family, trust me when I say I was tired. This has been a rough, matter of fact, excuse me. Let me cut it off and open up with a prayer. Then I'm open up with the benediction. And then we can get to talking. We can get to talking. Hallelujah. 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 Abba Yah, once again, for bringing us to your Shabbat. Thank you, Abba. We appreciate this, Father. We thank you for this, Father. We thank you for keeping us, Father. Abba Yah, thank you for bringing our Ema home, Father. Continue to heal her, Father. Continue to strengthen her, Father. continue to send your Melakim around her, Father, and comfort her, Father. Father, we ask for all those in Yisrael, in the house of Yahweh, that's alien in any kind of way, Father, mental, spiritually, physically, Father, that continue to heal them, Father. Father, I actually pray for the house of Yahweh, for your house of Beth Yahweh, Father, that you forgive us for our sins, Father, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, that when we go to the left, we go to the right, Father, that you bring us back with your loving commitment, as your word says, Father. So you chasing those you love, Father, that's all right. That's all right. Because you bring us back to the fold, Father. We would be much worse and much weary if you didn't bring us back to the fold, Father, when we left the prayer, Father. So we thank you for your chastening, Father, so we can get back and right on the right path, Father. Father, we ask that you come through your moray tonight, Father, that you come through the moray tomorrow, no later on today, Father, and the moray after him, Father, that your mind may be spoken, Father, that your words may come through their mouth, Father. And Yahushua, holy and precious name, we pray. Amen. Shalom, once again, Father. Oh, I got to do the business. I'm sorry. Let it run my mouth. So you, Yahweh, of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandment, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, sanctified, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, family, we're in another journey. It's called What is Evil? And I must be coming through sounding good. I didn't get no text. I would worry if I didn't get one and I wasn't coming through. So I would take that as a vote of confidence that I am coming through. I am coming through. But again, we in the second installment of What is Evil, and this got a subtitle to it of What is Evil, the depth of evil that man is going to, right? It's the depth of evil. You know, just sitting here just thinking about the lesson and think about last week and meditating on day. And again, Yahweh uses life to teach. He used life to teach, not just as a moraes, but each and every human being upon the face of the planet. If you're old enough to learn and comprehend, Yahweh will teach you. Tola Aki, Yahweh is teaching you and whoever through life experiences. Through life experiences. If you're old enough to comprehend, he will teach you through life experiences. Trust and believe. Each and every human being will be taught through his through life experiences. As I believe Murray Yaki Al brought out last week, life for lesson. Yes, it is. This life that we have is a lesson. It is a lesson. And what I'm going to read tonight, it seemed like I've read this last year. And I asked, I just seemed like I just read this last year. Seemed like, but it was in a different thought. It was not the same thought that Abba was giving me now, but as we talked about last week, Abba give us the same lesson over and over again, just different ways. He is the greatest chef upon the earth, cause never giving you the same meal. And even if he do give you the same meal, sometimes you won't even know he gave you the same meal. You won't know it. And if you do know, that's all right, too. Sometimes I like to eat cheeseburgers over and over. I like to eat chicken over and over. You know, it all depends on what I got to taste for that day. But for the most part, I eat chicken and burgers. Chicken and burgers. But Abiyah, he gives us his word. Same word, but a multitude of ways, a multitude of ways, multitudes. And I had so much on my mind just before I stopped and prayed, and it was just like the floodgates was open, but I had to stop because I had to give honor and praise to Abba Yah first and allow his spirit to come in and talk and not mine. But just going through and asking Abba again, I seem like I just read this stuff a couple weeks last year. It seemed like it's fresh in my mind that I read the scriptures that we're going to read through tonight. And again, you get so much more out of it, though. But tonight, we're going to read through it, and we're going to understand what is evil. And as we was learning last week, and what the word evil points to is a spoil, to spoil, right? And we looked and seen how it's the spirit of man inside him that spoils away, that breaks in pieces. You know, that's what evil means. That's exactly what the scripture said it meant. When we looked it up from the scriptures, right? To spoil. And we had the thought of milk, right? Of over a time period, that milk will spoil in the refrigerator. You got to get rid of it because it's good for nothing. And not just the spirit, as I was giving me a thought earlier when I was thinking about the lesson, the flesh does the same thing. It spoils away after a while. It spoils away after a while, after time. And we talking about a long period of time. But even if you don't, if you get a cut and you don't address it, how quick that flesh will rotten away. How quick the pus and the smell of our flesh, if we don't even tend to a wound that we have. You know, we just came out of serious called a beast in the spirit, you know, a wound, something that had been penetrated, right, a breach. And that's the spirit of man. That's the spirit. But I just keep asking Abba, right? It seemed like when I ask Abba, I'm always asking him, why do man think the way he think? And I think my spiritual leader put me on that path years ago. When he asked me to ask someone why they think the way they think. And one of the things for me, I'm always trying to see how we tick. How is it that we got in this predicament? How is it that we hear? Why we think like this? How are we moving? And one of those questions, if you had something that urged, that get down in your spirit and you want to know, I trust and believe you want to know. If you have that feeling, I will show you. I don't care what it is. Longing for it, he won't show you. If it's his will, I got to say that, if it's his will. And that's me. I yearn and want to know why mankind is like that. Why we do the things we do. Why we respond the way we respond, even with the help of Yahweh, even with the spirit of Yahweh. What's going on? Something's there. It ain't just, oh, yeah, the spirit of disobedience. Yeah, okay, but what's that? What's the spirit of disobedience? Right? That is the scripture. The spirit of disobedience that worketh in man. That means something is inside you, or part of you, that's working. A lot of times, we read over things, and we don't give thought to what we say. We just say things, and we're not giving serious thought to what we say. And that happens a lot. Mankind, it happens a lot in everyday life. We know that we interact with human beings, with people. I don't care if you went to the gym and you spoke to people and you overheard conversations, you are hearing the spirits of people. You're hearing things that are attached to people. Hearing. If you overheard conversations, you're listening to two people's spirits talk to one another. And it could be a multitude of unclean spirits or things that involve a person or unclean spirits that they're dealing with. Yah have put his people smack dead in the middle of it, and he did not remove things that happened to other people that will happen to us too. How other people think, same way. How other people react, we will too. Unless eventually we give in to the spirit of Yahweh. Unless eventually we understand and know how to defeat that adversary when he comes. It comes a multitude of ways. A multitude of ways. I mean, a multitude of ways. And one of the thoughts that Abba Yah gave me as I was sitting down and putting this together before we start to get into it, is a story, Cain and Abel. And when Cain was upset at the offering that he gave Abba, right, that he gave the father. Now, again, with me and how Abba works with me, I want people, as been taught to me, to use their own mind and have their own imagination and be able to see, not just able to hear the word. I want you to see the word, to come alive, to see it in your mind, right? When we get down and Abba Yah is teaching us. So once you see something, you'll better be able to comprehend it. And let's see that. Because we're going to talk about two brothers tonight. We're going to talk about Brother Reuben, Reuben, and we're going to talk about Brother Enoch. So we'll mostly be in the Testament of Reuben. And we'll be in the book of Enoch. Because we on a journey. And the journey is evil going throughout the world. And not just evil spirits going throughout the world. And he's not just men being evil, but he got to contend with evil spirits. Right? But let's get back to the story. Scripture, action. Abba Yah came to Cain. And he asked him, why are you mad? I'm going to put it in the most simplest terms. Right? Why are you mad, Cain? Why is your face turned upside down? Be careful. Because sin lies at the door. In other words, change how you're feeling. You don't have to continue on that path that you're on. So you don't have to allow anger, spirit, that rawness that's upon you right now, you don't have to allow that to stay upon you. You don't have to do that. Dangerous is waiting for you. And is waiting till you get so far that you is past the point of no return. But if you change the way you're feeling, if you change that anger and slowly beat it down, slowly remove it from your presence, God's waiting for you, can't get in. But because you have opened a door, keeping the door open and not allowing the door to shut, even when I is telling you that's there, and that's, isn't that what he told Cain? You're ignoring that invasion, Cain. You're ignoring that there's something waiting to get in. You can shut that door. And if you don't shut that door, boy, you're at the point of no return. How many times, Abba Yah, have done that? We all have one time or another been in Cain's place. He spoke to us, not even just about anger, about anything that brother or that sister who just want to slide in some porn, he want to slide that in, and that little voice, no, don't do that. You open up these portals, you open up these doors, you're a day, hey, something is waiting for you. Once you open that door, something is waiting to get in. It's hard to get out. How many times over a many of things, a many of times that Abba Yah had did the same thing he did to Cain, did to us, and we ignored it. Anybody else want to know why or what happens with the mind or what happens with the spirit? What is going on that sometimes, man, just can't ignore what's going on? I know we read last week, and we're going to read it today in Psalm 51:5. We're going to read that, how man was born, the thing he was born in. Then, how many asked the question after the lesson, Abba, why did you make us like that? But not that he made us in that way. that when Adam fell, why do we have to go through all this now? Why? Anybody ask that question? Or ever ask that question? How often are we asking questions about ourselves? How often are we combing our spirits and minds to see why we think the way we think, why we allow such this thing right here every single time we end up in the same funk? How is that? Are we asking these questions? Because I do. I want to know. Father, what is ailing me? What is going on? If you remember in Psalm 139, Brother David asked the same question. He said, look within me, Father. Search me out. Anything that's not like you, bring it to the forefront of my mind. Bring it to light so I can get rid of it, and I will praise you. I will live in praising you. My days, anything that's inside of me that's not like you. David knew, he understood that something is inside of me. Something has gotten within me. Something snuck in besides my own thinking and how I think. Another thought that came to mind is, I remember hearing this, especially in the field that I work in. The field I work in is with mentally challenged people, right? And even beyond that, if you go to any child psychiatrist or any psychiatrist, and one of the things they will say is all behaviors are learned behaviors. All behaviors are learned behaviors. Is it really? Now, I'm not going to answer that, but we want to answer ourselves. We want to start combing our own minds and spirits. Is it really? Is all behavior learned behavior? Or as Brother brought out last week, believers Moray Yakael, Rabbi, said that Hillel can't make you, Satan can't make you do nothing, but he can give you strong suggestions. He can bombard you with suggestions. He can bombard you. But even it doesn't matter what comes against us or how strong Hillel is or how smart he is, a simple thing will turn him away. Depart from me. Or leave in the name of Yahushua. That is just that simple. What the brother thing is about, can it be that simple? Yes, it is. It's just that simple. Depart from me. Hello. In the name of Yahushua. But the hard part is remembering that we have that power. The hard part is moving away from whatever thing that's ailing us or bothering us or overtaking us that we don't have to let in. But the cat out of the bag, mankind, hey, the cat is out of the bag. Woo, it's out. So let me open up. Let me stop talking. But that was a thought that I was wanted me to start off with, right there, the thought of. And as we go through that, remember what he said, why are you mad? Sin crouches at the door. You know, why are you like that? What's going on with you? You know something is waiting for you. Let's keep that in our forefront of our minds as we go through this lesson tonight, family. And if you don't have the lost book, Bible, the book of Eden, you know, the forgotten book of Eden, I will read it for you tonight. And I will be reading out of the Testament of Reuben. And as I got into it and started reading, I'm going to stop here. Nope, keep moving. No, I know, I'm going to stop right here. No, not the whole thing. But let me open up with my psalm first. And this is my first. The first two will be read for y'all. That is in Psalms 51:5. we don't have to look up the definitions again because we went through that last week. Behold, I was born in iniquity, in sin my mother conceived me. And I was reading out of the WEBA family. And the second one is in Bereshit, Genesis, back to the beginning, 2:9. Out of the ground, Yahweh made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. And we didn't learn those things last week. If you haven't, go in the archives. The lesson is there. Last week's lesson is there. With a multitude of other lessons there that Yahweh have brought through the Morays, through years and the Morah. The male and female teachers, man. For those who don't know what Moray and Morah is, just a female teacher, Morah, and a male teacher, Moray. All right, I want to get to the Testament of Reuben, and that is Reuben 1. The first chapter of Reuben. Just listen, family, because you're going to hear Brother Deuel's lesson in there, what he just went through. What he just went through. Chapter 1, starting at verse 11 to 41, for those who are taking notes. Chapter 1, starting at verse 11 to verse 41. Therefore, oh no, I'm sorry, but I'm in the wrong book. I'm in the back. I'm sorry. I was on page 2. Here I go. Starting at 11. And now hear me, my children, what things I saw concerning the seven spirits of deceit when I repented. The seven spirits of deceit. Seven spirits, therefore, are appointed against man, and they are the leaders in the works of youth. And seven other spirits are given to him, creation, that through them should be done every work of man. The first spirit is the spirit of life, with which constitution of man is created. The second is the sense of sight, with which arises desire. And again, like I said, you're going to hear some of that wells. Remember what Abiyah gave the brother. He gave him the physical part of that. And if you learn so much within the physical, all those functions work off of spirit. The first is the spirit of life, which is the constitution of man is created. The second is the sense of sight, with which arises desire. The third is the sense of hearing, with which cometh teaching. The fourth is the sense of smell, which tastes are given to draw air and breath, with which cometh knowledge. The sixth is the sense of taste, with which cometh the eating of meats and drinks, and by it strength is produced, for in food is the foundation of strength. The seventh is the power of procreation and sexual intercourse, with which through love of pleasure sins enter in. Wherefore, and we, again, I got to stop here, though. I got to get it. We're going back to the garden and after the fall, right after the fall. Wherefore, it is the last in order of creation and the first in that of youth, because it is filled with ignorance and leadeth the youth as a blind man to the pit and as a beast to the precipice. Oh, excuse me, brother. I tore that up. Besides all these, there is an eighth spirit of sleep, which is about the trend of nature and the image of death. And I got to speak on this one right here, too, because as I was starting off, I'm tired. I was tired. But listen to what he said, as of nature, right? Naturally, we get tired. Naturally, we want to go to sleep. But there's also another type of sleep when the spirit of slumber, the scripture calls the spirit of slumber, comes on you, right? And that's when something else is at work. Something else is working. Something else is whispering to you. Again, here at Beth Yahweh, many times we would be in service, and we could have just got out of bed. But come to service, the body has been rested. The body has been got his full of sleep in some cases, but in some cases they haven't. But even still, when we sit in there listening to the word, or even if you tried to read the word, something comes upon us, that spirit of slumber. A natural time, as I was today, because I've been working 11 and a half hours every day, probably 12 hours, leaving out at about 5:30, and not getting home to 5:30 every day, because we got a couple of van drivers down, and I've been doing the double shift. And soon I got home today, I had to sit down and put the lesson together. But 7 o'clock, I said, I'm going to leave here for a second. Woo! It seemed like the whole world was crashing down on me, so I had to get up and come down here and walk around, put me some music on, so I can get this flesh up and ready. Because there's no way I could have made an excuse by all the work I put in for the man and couldn't come and sit down and do Yahweh's will. Trust me. The flesh wasn't willing, but the spirit was. Hallelujah. 22 again. Besides all these, there is an eighth spirit of sleep, with which is brought about the trance of nature and the image of death, with these spirits are mingled the spirits of error. First, the spirit of fornication is seated in the nature and in the senses. Let me read that again. The spirit of fornication is seated in the nature. Use our own imaginations as we hear the word of Yahweh. The second, the spirit of insatiableness in the belly. The third, the spirit of fighting in the liver and gall. The fourth is the spirit of, I'm going to tear this one up too, and tyranny, that through officious attention, one may be fair and seeming. The fifth is the spirit of pride, that one may be boastful and arrogant. The sixth is the spirit of lying, in the perdition and jealousy to practice deceit and concealment from kindred and friends. The seventh is the spirit of injustice, with which are death and acts of reciprocity. I knew I tore that one up, Sam. Excuse me. That a man may fulfill the desire of his heart, for injustice worketh together with the other spirits. All these, the spirit of sleep is joined, which is that of error and fantasy. He waited back it up for us. And so perish every young man, darkening his mind from the truth and not understanding the Torah of Yah, nor obeying the admonition of his father, as beheld me also in my youth. And again, if you don't know the story of Reuben, he's talking about the time when the scripture says that he slept with his father, Yaakov, or Jacob's wife. And he's given an account of what took place with him. And not with just him, what took place with all of us, do things contrary to Torah. 32 months again. And so perish every young man, darkening his mind from the truth and not understanding the Torah of Yah, nor obeying the admonition of his fathers, as befell me also in my youth. And now, my children, love the truth, and it will preserve you. Hear ye the words of Reuben, your father. Pay no heed to a face of a woman, nor associate with another man's wife, nor meddle with affairs of womankind. For I had not seen Bilhah bathing in a covered place, I had not fallen into this great iniquity. For my mind taken in the thought of the woman's nakedness suffered me not to sleep until I had wrought the abominable thing. Listen to that, though. What did Yahushua say? He that look upon a woman have already sinned. Why did he say, hold up, Yahushua? You mean tell me walking down the street, I can't even look at a woman? This right here is what he's talking about. This mindset, when this takes place, when you start making ways to get that woman, making ways to get whatever it is that you have set your mind on. Yes, you can look at a woman and say, oh, she's nice, and keep on walking. But when you start taking thought, making ways to go that way, start taking thought of how, I'm not going to go to service this week. I'm not going to keep Shabbat. You know what, though? I'm going to go ahead and work. And eventually, it takes root, and it calls us to sin. Anything, Yahweh's calling. This is what he's showing us, what takes place in our mind. 38 again, for my mind taken in thought of the woman's nakedness suffered me not to sleep until I had wrought the abominable thing. He couldn't even sleep. This thing had overtaken him. He was thinking about it, plotting so much how he can get this thing. We've been there before. Even in worrying, even in anxiety, something takes over. But even with that, Abba still gave us one cubit to your stature. Through Yahushua. You can't make yourself grow anyway. Don't worry. You can't do nothing about that. Don't worry about that. Do his word. 39. For while Jacob, our father, had gone to Isaac, his father, when we were in Eder, near the Ephrat in Bethlehem, Bilhah became drunk and was asleep uncovered in her chamber. Having therefore gone in and beheld her nakedness, I wrought the impurity without her perceiving it. And leaving her sleeping, I departed. And forthwith, an angel of Yah revealed to my father concerning my impurity, and he came and mourned over me and touched her no more. Why did Jacob mourn over his son? Why does Scripture say he mourned over him? Because he understood what things he had done and what he had brought on himself. He defiled his father's wife. Not just that, but you don't understand what you brought on upon yourself, Reuben. You don't understand what's coming. Get a chance and finish out the testimony. You would know what took place, how Jacob had to pray for Reuben, because Abba was going to take his life. But he didn't take his life. He touched him. So he mourned. But wait, come on, dude. How? What happened? My God, all these women around here, you choose mine? What took place with you? And this is what Reuben is showing us. Again, the depths of evil that man have to go through. If Abba Yah doesn't show us mercy and grace each and every day, none of us will make it. None of us. Where was I found that? 41. And forthwith an angel of Yah revealed to my father concerning my impurity, and he came and mourned over me and touched her no more. Just look what he done even for her. Bilhah. How he even damaged her life. Two family. We're going to two. Well, I said something there. 2 to 23. Right, no small, but I got it. Pay no heed, therefore, my children, to the beauty of women, nor set your mind on their affairs, but walk in singleness of heart, in the fear of Yahweh, and expend labor on good works, and on study, and on your flock, until Yahweh give you a wife, whom he will that you suffer not as I did. For until my father's death, I had not boldness to look in his face, my brethren, because of the reproach. Even until now, my conscience caused me anguish on account of my impurity. And yet my father comforted me much and prayed for me unto Yahweh, that the anger of Yahweh might pass from me, and even as Yahweh showed. Listen to that, though. You understand the love that Abba Yah want us to come to, family? Here it is. We can't forgive people for little things, the smallest of things. We can't even forgive people for, let alone pray for them, smallest of things. Witnesses. We are his witnesses. How many of us as men can forgive another man for sleeping with your wife and let alone pray for him? How many of us? Now that's a hard pill to swallow. I'm sitting here as the Moray. Hey, that's a hard pill to swallow. And as his life continues, I pray Abba Yah, get me to where Father Yaakov was, to be able to pray for them, to be able to mourn for them. That's the spirit of Yahushua, right there. That's the spirit of Yahushua, to pray and mourn for people, regardless of what they have done to you, to pray and mourn for them. Although we got a lot of junk going on with us, our world is tore. You don't think Father Yaakov's heart was hurt? You don't think that he was tore apart? You don't think the spirit of jealousy tried to set in and get him to go at his son? Yes. All these things happen. Scripture ain't got to say it. Man, we should know this. Yes. But he took the high route. Right? He mourned for his son. One thing that he understood more than anything, who Yahweh was. Do that ring a bell? Does that jog us? Did that strike a match within our spirit? When things of this world happened to us, he knew who Yahweh was. He understood. He had a relationship with him. See how Yahushua came back and told her, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. He knows who Yahweh is. So he mourned for it. Say, boy, let me tell you. Abba Yah coming after you, he's going to get you. First and foremost, because of what you did to me. Because I'm one of his. He's going to get you. But you, my son, yes, I'm disappointed in you. Yes, I'm hurt by what you did, but I pray for you, because I know the Father of high looks low, going to get you. I know he will take your life for the act that you did. I got to pray for you. Father Yaakov knew Abba, understood him. How many of us know Abiyah like that? How many of us know him like that? Because, again, we ain't going through what is evil just to be going through what is evil. We ain't going through these. We're going through these things so Abiyah can show us, first and foremost, us, but also this world and how we ought to be. The salt of the world. So we got to go and we got to see the depths of things. We got to see beyond that flesh. When we say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's just a cliche to most of us. To say these things, but we ain't looking beyond flesh and blood. We ain't looking beyond. We're not coming to understand who is Yahweh. That's why we going through this. So we can get ourselves to that mindset. We know who is Yahweh. We know if we pray against somebody, they're going to be God. We know if we pray for them, God will answer. And it's not always yet. Just as Yahweh will be done, we understand that. But he gave us something and change things. Once we know and understand, we have a multitude of lessons within the word of Yahweh showing that the righteous is much. So it's much more than Yahweh will be done. Yes, it's going to be done either way. Waiting for you and for me and for others, maybe you have a relationship with him, to come to an understanding what we can do. Well, a couple weeks ago that I remember that just came to mind. This is what Yahweh sure said, if we believe it, right? Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose in the earth, I'll loose in heaven. Whoever sin you forgive, whoever sin that you keep on them, step on them. Do we believe that? Understand, mighty one. Yes, we have book knowledge. Yes, we have all that. Especially for Beth Yahweh, it's been said many a time, Beth Yahweh, y'all know the word. I know the word of Yahweh. But do you know his mind? Do you understand what he wants from us? Are we walking in the example of Yahushua HaMashiach? Are we walking in that example? Yes, Reuben did his father wrong. But his father prayed for him. He mourned over him. Because he understood the judgment of Yah was on him. Judgment of Yah on you, son. I can change that death sentence that you got coming with the quickness. But I ain't going to be able to change that chastisement. I ain't going to be, but that's all right. If you finish reading, you'll come to understand that chastisement did what it's supposed to do in Brother Reuben. On the rest of that. Two. For until my father's death, I had not boldness to look him. Look, give me time. This reading, this is small right here. And I got glasses on, trust me. Boldness to look in his face or to speak to any of my brothers because of the reproach. Even until now, my conscience caused me anguish on account of my impurity. And yet my father put it me. Much and prayed for me unto Yahweh, that the anger of Yahweh might pass from me, even as Yahweh showed. And thenceforth until now, I have been on my guard and said not. That chastisement worked. It worked for Brother Reuben. He turned around. Therefore, my children, I say unto you, observe all things whatsoever I command you, and you shall not sin. For a pit unto the soul is the sin of fornication, separating it from Yah, and bringing it near to the idols, because it deceives the mind and understanding, and leadeth down young men unto Sheol before their time. For many have fornication destroyed, because through a man, be old or noble or rich or poor, he bringeth reproach upon himself with the sons of men, and desertion with Belial, or Satan, or a spirit, with unclean spirit. For ye heard regarding Joseph how, and listen to this though, listen to this. For ye heard regarding Joseph how he guarded himself from a woman and purged his thoughts from all fornication and found favor in the sight of Yah and men. For the Egyptian woman did many things unto him, and summoned magicians, and offered him love potions, but the purpose of his soul admitted no evil desire. Therefore, the mighty one of your fathers delivered him from every evil and hidden death. For the fornication overcomes not your mind, neither can the spirit overcome, for evil are women, my children, and since they have no power or strength over man, they use wiles by outward attractions that they might draw him to themselves. Now, let's get that. No, he's not saying all women are evil. He's given a characteristic, a certain type of woman. Not all women are evil. Not all women use their wiles and their looks and their body to trap a man or to get a man. But today, there's a small percentage of just righteous women. I'm going to say it like that. Small percentage of righteous women. And then again, those who out there, you have to ask the question, why are you like that? What behaviors have you learned? Or been taught, or who been whispering in your ears to tell you that it's okay to go out there with a string bikini on and a netted dress, right? To show all your treasures that should be looked for, not just out on display. But again, it goes both ways. If there wasn't a man with that type of fornication mind that look upon woman and cheer her on when she wears these type of things, she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't have nowhere to go. She would not be in the majority of, I got to show my treasures. But if the man's mindset also, that he need her treasures to be blossoming all over the place. And we adults, I hope, pray for you, y'all understand what I'm saying. Because there may be children listening. And whom cannot be rich by outward attraction, him that overcome by craft. And whom they cannot be rich by outward attraction, him they overcome by craft. And again, he's going and still talking about the story of Joseph. What did she bought magicians. She bought potions. She did a lot of things to kind of get Joseph, right? And if you go into, I believe it's this book or another book, and it shows even the book, The Testament of Joseph, talks about how this woman was. She wasn't no, just no, no, she wanted a daisy. She was a rose. Right? She was something to behold how Joseph describes her. But she didn't just use her outward adorning, her outward treasures. She used magic. She used potions. She tried every way to get Joseph to fall. Because Brother Joseph was stayed on Yahweh's word. He stood on it. He stood on it. He understood that, yeah, he married. I can't deal with you. He married. I can't be with you. First of all, me and you ain't married. That fornication if I sleep with you. And again, fornication was around. Adultery was around. And this is way before Israel got the Torah. How you gonna say that? But that, how is that? Because when Pharaoh took Abraham's wife, Yahweh said, "Get that man back his wife." Well, I believe it was Abimelech took Abraham's wife. Both of them got up and said, "But man, you almost had me to commit fornication, commit sin. What you doing, man?" The Most High came and stopped me up. He didn't just stop me up. He stopped my whole household up. You could have came and told us the truth. A lie. Even I believe it was Abimelech, Abraham had to pray for him to get right. Abba told him, "My servant will pray for you." So Abraham had the power right then. If I don't pray for you, you're gonna stay in that state. You're gonna die in that state right there. But Abraham prayed for him, understanding Abba Yah. I mean, he's about mercy, but he's not about being a fool. Let's not get that twisted. He's not about being a fool. He's not. And we cannot pull the wool over his eyes. We can't fool him. We can't sit here and have fake repentance. That don't work. That does not work with him. Fake repentance does not work. It may fool you, but it ain't fooling him. It may fool somebody else who don't know, but it's not fooling them. Repentance must be real. It must be heartfelt. And if we're not repenting in the things that we do, we better ask the realm conscious to see it with a high eye. And it may not be said in every aspect, but maybe over here in this area that we keep going back to, it may be said in that aspect. Thank you. You better pray that Abba Yah reverse that for us. 15. Moreover, concerning them, the angel of Yahweh told me and taught me that women are overcome by the spirit of fornication more than men. And in their heart, they plot against men. And by means of their adornments, they desire their minds and by the glance of the eye. Excuse me. Instill the poison and then through the accomplished act, they take them captive. This reminds you of the Proverbs, right? When it talks about the woman that stand on the corner and she catch silly men, right? Silly men. And they also can connect it to the woman in Revelation, but we're not talking about that. We're not doing that connection and stuff like that tonight. We're going to keep it simple. But it gets silly, man. But hold on, listen. By means of their adornment, they deceive first the mind, and by the glance of the eye install poison. And then, through the accomplished act, they take them captive. He just said that women ain't stronger than men, so they can't overpower you, right? So what's being taken captive? Come on. What is the poison? What did brother say that he couldn't even sleep? And this is in the sense of the wicked woman, right? I hope we ain't got to keep bringing that disclaimer out and the righteous understand that it's not talking about all women. But if you use your wiles, he's talking about you too. And if you being captive all the time with your glances and there's poison is seeping in you, and you taking the mindset, I got to get that, he's talking about you too. We're on the road of righteousness, and we're combating those things, that evil. 16. For a woman cannot force a man openly, but by a harlot's bearing she beguiles him. Flee, therefore, fornication, my children, and command your wives and your daughters that they adorn not their heads and faces to deceive the mind, because every woman who uses these wiles has been reserved for eternal punishment. Reserved for eternal punishment. And if you go into the beginning of this book, in the book of Eden, about the story of Adam and Eve, and there's a story in there about the children of Cain and I believe the children of Seth. The children of Cain was at the bottom of a mountain, and the children of Seth was at the top of the mountain. And Satan taught the children of Cain. He taught them how to make iron into weapons. And he taught the women how to beautify their face, how to paint their face. And he gave them news. Ever get a chance to go and read that, and how eventually the children of Seth started looking over that mountain and looking down there, looking at the party, right? Hey, they're down there partying. We up here studying and reading books, and they're down there partying. They're down there looking, look like they having a good time. And the scripture talks about how day and night the children of Seth would look down there. And the women would be beautified. And he taught them how to wear dresses and all this thing. And waving, come on down. And guess what? Children of Seth ended up down that bottom, partying, getting it in. Hey, we down here. And the father tried to stop them. Every day, that curiosity that we built, right? That glance that he just said, all it takes is a glance. Ooh, oh, my goodness. You see that? We got to try to pull that thing back. Because if we don't pull it back, that mind then ran. And we caught, as the scripture just said, captured. Male and female. For a woman, 16 again, for a woman cannot force a man openly, but by a harlot's bearing, she beguiles him. Flee, therefore, fornication, my children, and command your wives and your daughters that they adorn not their heads and faces to deceive the mind, because every woman who uses these wiles have been reserved for eternal punishment. For death they allured the watchers, who were before the flood. For as these continually beheld them, they lusted after them. Hold up. He's giving women power. He's saying that the watchers was looking at these women so much in their heart. I mean, we got to get down there. We got to see what's going on. We got to taste some of that. Them too. About that a little later. I'll read about that. So we're gonna read about two brothers tonight. Wives and your daughters, 16, 17 again, that they adorn not their heads and faces, deceive the mind, because every woman. Oh, I didn't read that already. But you know what though? I saw something on what's that? TikTok, where though that mean what attracted to me is what attracted to me, and the woman she wasn't that attractive, right? I mean, maybe she had some spies. I'm trying to be nice as possible about it, right? And she just wasn't attractive to me. Everybody have their own attraction, right? And she took this makeup, and that was 15, 20 minutes. I don't know how long it took, but it was only a 30 second. Boy, she made herself into a beauty queen. And all I could think, that's witchcraft. That's not who that woman is. That's not who she is. That's witchcraft right there. What he just said, how they beautify themselves and capture men. Just imagine I didn't see her before she put that on. Right? Before she put all that on. I'm one of the most beautiful women ever. And I was a single man, and I went and caught her and bam, took her home. And, oh, my goodness, you ain't who I thought you was. That's witchcraft, to paint your face, to deceive somebody and thinking that you who. And that's only an outward thing. We can do it in the inwardly, too. Men do it majority of the time inwardly, the deceiving. Because we ain't talking about a male or female thing. We just talking about evil in this world. 18 again. For thus they allure the watchers who were before the flood. For as these continually beheld them, they lusted after them, and they conceived the act in their mind. It took place again in their mind. For they changed themselves into the shape of men and appeared to them when they were with their husbands. And the women, lusting in their minds after their form, gave birth to giants. For the watchers appeared to them as reaching even unto the heaven. Beware, therefore, of fornication. And if you wish to be pure in mind, guard your senses from every woman. And command the woman likewise not to associate with men, that they also might be pure in mind. For constant meetings, even through the ungodly deed, be not wroth, are to them an irremediable disease, and to us a destruction of spirit and an internal reproach. For in fornication there is neither understanding nor godliness, and all jealous dwelleth in the lust thereof. Again, if you get a chance, family, continue this story. Start from the beginning. Start from the very beginning and read the whole story. The brother bring out an in-depth thing that happened to him. And not just him. It happened to all of us. In the multitude of ways, in the multitude of ways, it happens to all of us. You ever get a chance? I gave you the thought to read through those patriots, the patriarchs, one day. And if Abba will, we'll do that one day. We'll read through the patriots because we is the culture family, the patriarchs. Now I'm going to the Book of Enoch. And we're going to read chapter 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, only 14, 1 through 7, and chapter 15. Because he just mentioned the watchers. He just mentioned the watchers. So let's go and read that story. The watchers. And again, what we're talking about, what is evil? And the depths of evil that man has to contend with. That we, on a daily, have to contend with. Then Mikael and Gabriel, Enoch, Book of Enoch, chapter 9, family. Then Michael and Gabriel, Raphael and Suriel, and Uriel looked down from heaven and saw the quantity of blood which was shed on earth and all the iniquity which was done upon it, and said one to another, it is the voice of their cry. The earth deprived of her children to the gate of heaven. And now to you, O ye holy ones of heaven, the souls of men complain, saying, obtain justice for us, the one, with one, the Most High. Then they said to their master, the king, thou art master, Lord of Lords, excuse me, and Elohim of Elohim, God of gods, King of kings, throne of thy glory is forever and ever, and forever and ever is thy name. Sanctify and glorify thou, are blessed and glorified. Thou hast made all things. Thou possessest power over all things, and all things are open and manifest before thee. Thou beholdest all things, and nothing can be concealed from thee. Again, not even in that untrue repentance. We can't go and have this fake repentance. The scriptures just said the Malachim, the angel, is letting us know. They're telling him, but they also letting us know there ain't nothing we can do that he don't know. They're going to, hey, you know everything. See what's going on down there? I know you see. I know you see what's going on down there. Thou beholdest all things, and nothing can be concealed from thee. Thou hast seen what Azrael has done, how he has taught every species of iniquity upon earth, and has disclosed to the world all the secret things which are done in the heavens. We got another thing added to man. They're being taught by the angels. They're being taught by the angels. Semyaza also taught sorcery, to whom thou hast given authority over those who are associated with him. They have gone together to the daughters of men, have lain with them, have become polluted, and have discovered crime to them. The woman likewise had brought forth giants. Thou have the whole earth been filled. Thou have the whole earth been filled with blood and iniquity. And now behold, the souls of those who are dead cry out and complain even to the gate of heaven. Their groaning ascends, nor can they escape from the unrighteousness which is committed on earth. Thou knowest all things before they exist. You saw all this coming before it even happened. Thou knowest these things and what has been done by them, yet thou dost not speak to us. What on account of these things ought we to do to them? Going over the 10 family. Then the Most High, the Great One and Holy One, spoke and sent Azariah to the son of Lamech, saying, say to him in my name, conceal thyself. Then explain to him the consummation which is about to take place. For all the earth shall perish. The waters of the deluge shall come over the whole earth, and all things which are in it shall be destroyed. And now teach him how he may escape, and how his seed may remain in the earth. Again, the master said to Raphael, bind Azariah and hand him into darkness, and open the desert which is in Dudel. Cast him in there. Throw upon him hurled and pointed stones, covering him with darkness. There shall he remain forever. Cover his face that he may not see the light. And in the great day of judgment, let him be cast into fire again. And this is what, for me, for all these people who be running out here, they trying to open up a portal. They trying to free the fallen. Shut up! Understand. You just hearing things, people saying things out here, and don't have no understanding. If Yahweh said this ain't, that he ain't getting out, he ain't getting out. He say, conceal him until the day of judgment. Ain't nothing man can do. Don't blow no hole in the album of creation and say, I didn't open up a black hole. I didn't open up a portal. Come on out, fallen angel. First and foremost, they probably wouldn't even move. Not going out there. Y'all don't have the power to fight Yahweh. I'm not going out there. He gave me to judgment. I'm trying to open up a hole, I go out there for judgment. I'm not going out there. that even man cannot open up a portal. You can, down in CERN, whatever they call that thing, you can build 100 of them, put them all around the earth. Open up no portal. You ain't going to open up no gateways to allow these things to come, to allow the fallen to come out. You're not going to do it. But yet you gave a multitude of teachings on what they're trying to do. They cannot do what I would say they can't do. If he put a seal on it, it's a seal on it. We got some seals in the book of Revelation, but only one person, only one in creation was able to open it. Not even a Melechim. The angel was able to open it. And that was Yahushua HaMashiach, able to open up the seal. I would put a seal on it. Ain't nobody opening it. Right? Pray. Eight again, family. There he shall remain forever, covering his face that he may not see the light. And in the great day of judgment, let him be cast into fire. Restore the earth, which the angels have corrupted, and announce life to it, that I may revive it. And all the sons of men shall not perish in the consequences of every secret by which the watchers have destroyed and which they have taught their offspring. All the earth has been corrupted by the effects of the teachings of Azazel. To him, therefore, ascribe the whole crown. All the earth has been corrupted by what these angels. To Gabriel, also Yahweh said, go to the biters, to the reprobates, to the children of fornication, and destroy the children of fornication, the offspring of the righteous, from among men. Bring them forth, fight them one against another. Let them perish by mutual slaughter, for length of days shall not be there. Listen to me. Isn't that what Abba used, that strategy used, that he used in the book of Joshua, the book of Yahushua ben Nun? When he had men to fight against one another, he excite man against man? That's a strategy. He did the same thing for the watchers did. He told him, excite them against one another, but their father shall not obtain their wishes respecting them. For they shall hope for eternal life, and that they may live each of them 500 years. To Michael, likewise, Yahweh said, go, announce his crown to Samyaza and to the others who are with him, who have been associated with women, that they might be polluted with all their impurity, and when all their sons shall be slain, when they shall see the perdition of their beloved. Bind them for 70 generations underneath the earth, even to the day of judgment of summation, until the judgment of the effect of which will last forever be completed. Then shall they be taken away in the lowest depth of the fire in torment, and in confinement shall they be shut up forever. Immediately after this, gather with them, burn and purge, they shall be bound until the consummation of many generations. Destroy all the souls addicted to dulling, and the offspring of the righteous, for they have tyrannized over mankind. Let every oppressor perish from the face of the earth. Let every evil work be destroyed. The plant of righteousness and ridicule appear, and it reproduces to become a blessing. Righteousness and ridicule shall be forever. Planted with delight. Excuse me, family. And then shall all the saints give thanks and live until the they have begotten 1,000 children, while the whole period of their youth and their Sabbath shall be completed in peace. In those days, all the earth shall be cultivated in righteousness, and it shall be wholly planted with trees and filled with benediction. Every tree of delight shall be planted in it, and it shall vines be planted, and the vine which shall be planted in it shall yield fruit. Sanctity, every seed which shall be sown in it shall produce for one measure of thousand, and one measure of olive shall produce 10 presses of oil. Purify the earth from all oppression, from all injustice, from all crime, from all impurity, and from all pollution which committed upon it. Exterminate them from the earth. Then shall all the children of men be righteous, and all nations shall pay me divine honor and bless me, and all adore me. Then the earth shall be cleansed from all corruption, from every crime, from every punishment, and from all suffering. Neither will I again send a deluge upon it from generation to generation forever. In those days I will open the treasures of blessing which are in heaven, that I may cause them to descend upon earth. And all the work and labor of man, peace, and shall associate with the sons of men all the days of the world and every generation of it. There's no chapter 11, I'm moving on to 12, family. Before all these things, Enoch was concealed, nor did any one of the sons of men know where he was concealed, which he had been, and what had happened. He was wholly engaged with the Holy Ones and with the watchers in his days. Enoch was blessing the great Adonai and King of Shalom, and behold, the watchers called me Enoch the scribe. Then Yahweh said to me, Enoch, scribe of righteousness, go tell the watchers of heaven who have deserted their lofty sky and their holy everlasting station, which have been polluted with women, and have done as the sons of men do, by taking themselves wives, and who have been greatly corrupted on the earth, that on the earth they shall never obtain peace and remission of sin, for they shall not rejoice in their offspring. They shall behold the slaughter of their beloved, shall lament for their destruction of the son of their sons, and shall petition forever, but not obtain mercy and peace. 13 families. Passing on, said to Azazel, thou shalt not obtain peace. A great sentence is gone forth against thee. He shall bind thee. Neither shall relief, mercy, and supplication be thine on account of the oppression which thou hast taught. And on account of every act of blasphemy, tyranny, excuse me, family. Somebody trying to call. I'm going to send that to voicemail. And on account of every act of blasphemy, tyranny, and sin which thou hast discovered to the children of men. Then, departing from him, I spoke to them all together, and they all became terrified and trembled, beseeching me to write for them a memorial of supplication, that they might obtain forgiveness, and that I might make the memorial of their prayers ascend up before Yah of heaven, the mighty one of heaven, because they could not themselves thenceforth address him, nor arise up their eyes on account of the disgraceful offense for which they were judged. Then I wrote a memorial of their prayer and supplication for their spirits, for everything which I have done, and for the subject of their entreaty, that they might obtain remission and rest. Proceeding on, I continued over the waters of Dan Badan, which is on the right to the west of Ammon, reading the memorial of their prayer until I fell asleep. And behold, a dream came to me, and visions appeared above me. I fell down and saw a vision of punishment that I might relate to the sons of heaven and reprove them when I awoke. I went to them, and all being collected together, stood weeping in Obel-Selek-El, which is situated Lebanon and Sincer, which with their faces veiled, I related in the presence of all the visions which I have seen in my dream, and began to utter these words of righteousness, reproving the watchers of heaven. Amen. Moving on to 14, and we only going 1-7 on 14, family. This is the book of the words of righteousness and of the reproof of the watchers who belong to the world, according to that which he who is holy and great commanded in the vision. I perceived in my dream that I was now speaking with tongues of flesh and with my breath. The mighty one has put into the mouth of men that they might converse with it and understand with the heart, as he has created and given to men the power of comprehending the word of understanding. So has he created and given me the power of reproving the watchers, the offspring of heaven. I have written your petition, and in my vision it has been shown me that your request will not be granted you as long as the world endures. And listen, as long as the world endures, them watchers will be wherever Yahweh put them, and ain't nothing man can do to get them out. Judgment has been passed upon you. Your request will not be granted. From this time forward, never shall you ascend into heaven. He has said that on the earth he will bind you as long as the world endures. But before these things, you shall behold the destruction of your beloved sons. You shall not possess them, but they shall fall before you by the sword. You know, reading this, and that right there stuck out to me again. We read over things. I don't, and I'm going to speak for myself on this one. I done read this a many times. I done heard a many times that the watchers died in the wood, that ain't none of the watchers survived the flood, right? As if it's been taught, as if they have died in the flood. No, they didn't die in the flood. Yahweh sent the Malachim, the angels, to kill the giants, to kill their sons. They didn't die in the flood. One of them was hiding in the mountain and got away. He hid himself somewhere, and all of a sudden, he ended up on the other side. Yahweh say only 8 souls survived. How is it that man, again, nation of man, saying they survived? Do we believe the word of Yahweh or the doctrines of men? The water didn't drown them. I had the Malachim to go down there and slaughter them, kill them, of their fathers. Running around when Noah was teaching, just before him, Abba had them killed. That's where he found again. But before these things, you shall behold the destruction of your beloved son. You shall not possess them, but they shall fall before you by the sword. The prophet to tell him that. Now you don't call Brother Enoch a prophet. Scripture don't call him a prophet. He's a prophet. How he say he revealed to his prophet? He speak to them and bring them business. Now, this brother had a lot of dreams. And not only that, this brother was concealed from mankind. He walked with the Malachim. Neither shall you entreat for them nor for yourselves. You can't even ask for forgiveness for yourself. Does that remind you of someone? You can't even ask forgiveness for your son. You can't even plead for their life. Does that remind you of someone? Let me tell you where the scripture took me. The thought took me when I first read it. It took me to Aharon when their son offered up strange fire, and Abba immediately came down and destroyed them. Immediately. And what did it tell Aharon? You can't even mourn for them. You're mourning for them. You can't even pray for them. Your sons to Aharon, you better not even mourn for them. Don't you better not mourn for them. But they did. That, again, that fake repentance is not going to work with Abba Yah. He sees way beyond that. He know who we are and who he wants us to become. That we may go through a lot of these things that we have to go through, that we said that profound, this extreme life experiences that we have to go through so we can become this person who he wants us to become. So we don't only look at the world through our own eyes, we're looking at the world through his eyes. 7, but you shall weep and supplicate in the words of this book, of the book which I wrote. Let me move over. 15, family, Marie 15 out. That'll be the end of the book of Enoch. Then addressing me, he spoke and said, and if you want, you should finish that out. That's a good reading. That's a good reading. He goes to the throne. Then addressing me, he spoke and said, hear, neither be afraid, O righteous Enoch, the scribe of righteousness. Approach hither and hear my voice. Go, say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to pray for them. You ought to pray for men and not men for you. Wherefore have you forsaken the lofty and holy heaven, which endures forever, and have lain with women, have defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, have taken themselves wives, have acted like the sons of the earth, and have begotten an imperious offspring. You bring, being spiritual, holy, possessing a life which is eternal, polluted yourself with women, have begotten in carnal blood, have lusted in the blood of men, and have done as those who are flesh and blood. Blood, dude, excuse me. Something came to mind. I'm going to read that again and see if it come anybody else's mind. 3, family. You being spiritual, holy, and possessing a life which is eternal, have polluted yourself with women, have begotten carnal blood, have lusted in the blood of men, and have done as those which are flesh and blood do. Who for thought? These, however, die. Therefore have I given thee them wives that they might cohabit with them, that sons might be born of them, and that this might be transacted upon earth. From the beginning, which are spiritual, possessing a life which is eternal, not subject to death forever. Therefore I made not wives for you. Spiritual, your dwelling is in the heaven. Now, the giants who lay been born of spirit and of flesh shall be called upon the earth evil spirit, and on earth shall their habitation spirits have proceeded from their flesh, because they were created from above. The holy watchers was their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be upon the earth, and the spirits of the wicked shall they be called. The habitation of the spirit of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon earth shall be the habitation of the transvestal spirits who are born on earth. The spirit of the giants shall be like clouds, which shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise upon the earth, which shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise upon the earth. They have a job to do. Unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. They are evil spirits now. I think they're going to be doing that too. So man is born in iniquity and born in sin, and he got to deal with his own self. And he also got to deal with unclean spirits who've been charged to do a job. 10. They shall cause lamentation. No food shall they eat, and they shall be thirsty. They shall be concealed and shall not one rise up against the Son of Man and against women, for they come forth during the days of slaughter and destruction. They also shall cause lamentation. Great lamentation at that. Not just lamentation. And look at the world. Look at the evil is upon the world from our first son and his second, which is man. And look where we are today, the state that we are in, because of the evil that is upon the earth. Because what we are born with and what we have to contend with on a daily. But here's something. Here's what we're going to end with. We're going to end with this. Next week we'll be getting to the imagination of men. We'll be starting out in Genesis 6:5, and we'll be looking at the imagination. And he said, every thought of man is evil. Every imagination of man is evil. But we want to end with this note right here. We don't want to end on that. And we're going to Philippians 4:13. Regardless of all we just learned, all we just went through, what man is against, is up against, what is a part of us, what is our nature. Regardless of all that, we have this right here. I can do all things through Yahushua who strengthens. It's nothing that the unclean spirit can do. Even within myself, I can be turned. Righteous person. Falling doesn't have to stay there. To reverse the breaking of pieces that is called evil that man has been born with. That we live in this darkened world. He also says the world is in darkness. The people gross darkness. About that scripture tonight. Ask Abba to open it up. Magnify that right there for us. What do you really mean by that? Let's not just read over it. Let's ask Abba. Let's pray to Abba. Magnify. What does it mean that man is in gross darkness? The world is in darkness first, but man is in all the evil that's around us. Still, can't overtake Yahushua. What does scripture say? And the darkness did not comprehend the light. It couldn't comprehend it. In the dark room, you light a match, you got light. The light has just taken over that darkness. That little teeny flame has taken over the darkness. You're able to see. You can go in the room, I don't care how dark it is. If you can't even see your hand, but if you light that match, you can see. That's what he means by the world is in gross darkness. When you light that match, you'll become a light. We are those lights. But we have to come to that understanding of what is the will of Yahweh for us. How should we be looking at this world? How should we see these people? How should we see ourselves? how often should we pray for one another, asking for forgiveness for one another, right? Each and every day. Each and every day, family. And that is the end of my Torah portion. We'll close out with a prayer. We get back to the word. Let me get my glasses. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the young. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Hallelujah! 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 Yahweh, once again, for bringing us to the door of Shabbat, for opening up the door of Shabbat for us, Father. Pray for we all have walked through and taken rest in your Shabbat, Father, for these 24 hours and fast in your glory, Father. Father, strengthen us, Father. Continue to guide us, Father. Continue to move us toward being just like your son, Yahushua, Father. Father, when you look down upon us, Father, see where we go to the left, to the right, Father. See where we're not like, and do your loving commitment shape and mold us like your son, Father. I know that may be a hard thing to ask, and we may not want that, and we better be careful with what we ask. But if we want salvation, we want to do the will of the Father, we want to be like you, help us to endure whatever we have to endure, Father, Yah, to become like your son, Father. Strengthen us so we can come like Yahushua, Father. So when you look at us, you don't see us, Father. You see your son, Father. You see Yahushua being blossomed within us, growing within us, Father. So we are removed out of the way, Father. So help us, Abba Yah. Your strength, Father. Your loving commitment. Come who you need us to be, Father. In this darker world. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Abba Yah.